Gerald, it's Dan Ouellette.
Hey, Dan. How are you, man?
Oh, my God. Been a crazy time schedules back and forth for me, but this is good. Is it good for you?
Yeah, it's great. I'm so sorry I had to. I wasn't available in an hour from now.
No, it's okay. Just when I was, like, freaking out, I got called in and got my blood tested and all that kind of stuff for COVID.
Wow.
So it went fairly quickly. It was the long wait outside, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, it's good you did that. No.
So tell me, you've been incredibly busy lately, yeah?
Yeah, somehow. There's been some things kind of all happening at the same time. At the beginning of all this, it sort of felt like the opposite, you know? It felt like a real halt of all things. And all of a sudden, sort of all my deadlines converged and opportunities sort of came up, whether it's the streaming gigs or, in this case, writing music for a documentary, and also the Monterey Jazz Festival's Next Generation Jazz Orchestra position that I got this year.
Yeah, hey, congratulations.
Thanks, yeah. So we did like an online version of that, and busy doing one-on-one Zoom meetings with all the students last week, and getting together with all of them at the same time, and trying to put together a couple big band charts virtually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this gig is for 2 years, right?
I think it's three, if I'm not mistaken, but yeah, it's nice. Got a couple years ahead of getting to work with these cats. I'm excited for it. You know, I've always been kind of like searching for an education opportunity that feels like the right fit for me. I think this is exactly that, you know. Gives me a chance to work closely with some hungry students. And, you know, I was sort of in a similar position. I wasn't in the exact band, the Next Generation Jazz Orchestra, but I do remember competing at that festival when I was in high school, and it was just such a important part of my year back then.
Uh-huh.
Something we all kind of look forward to and work towards. So it feels good to be able to give back to that too.
Cool. Yeah, Monterey's great. It's too bad that it's not happening this year.
Yeah, I know. It's the whole bummer of the year.
Complete bummer. What? Tell me about the streaming thing. I wasn't aware of that.
There's just been a few different gigs. You know, I did something for the most recently for the Washington D.C. Jazz Festival with my dad.
Uh huh.
I think there's another one coming up. Live from your living room. I can't remember the names of all of them, but I think this next one has to do with helping fund musicians who are in need in New York. I did one for Duke Performances a couple weeks back.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they're just kind of popping up, all these chances to connect as we can, you know, do it the digital way.
Cool. The Live From Your Living Room, is that the one that Tana Alexa is working on?
Exactly, yeah, that one. So I'll be doing something for them on July 12th, I believe.
Cool. What was I going to say? Tell me about, obviously, the Village Vanguard album, which is really terrific.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm excited. I sort of felt like, you know, I love all of the opportunities I've gotten to record in the past and you know, the studio dates that I've done. But, if, you know, these albums that we make are sort of, in some ways, a representation of who we are and what we do, you know, it's sort of our calling card or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Representative of the whole truth of who I am and what I do, which is, you know, play live shows, play in front of people night after night throughout the year. That's the majority of my year. remember how unique and how special that is, and how, you know, I'm really grateful for all the great recordings I have, but they only capture a fraction of the magic. So if I can, you know, turn this record into another way to encourage people to go out and see music whenever we're allowed to do that again, I'm into that as a flag to fly for this one as well.
Yeah, I think that's been my biggest sadness of this whole period is I just love going down to the Vanguard. I love going down to the Jazz Standard. I love going to all those places and seeing it. And seeing it come alive in a way that's you know, with the improvisation and seeing you musicians, you know, painting new pictures every night.
Yeah, exactly. No, I miss it too, man. I mean, even just before the pandemic, just moving to LA, you know, that was something that I was leaving behind. You know, there's great music to see in LA as well, but that particular energy of being able to, like, jump from club to club in the Village, it's just such a special thing. So yeah, I miss it too.
When did you move? You moved from New York to LA when?
It's been about coming up on 4 years, I believe now.
Uh huh. And why did you do that?
You know, honestly, I wanted to surf. I spent 10 years in New York, and I feel like towards the later part of those 10 years, I was sort of getting the itch for some kind of a change. I wasn't as social as I was in those earlier years. I wasn't going out every single night to see music. You know, a lot of nights I'd be at home and, you know, watching surf videos or whatever. I it is a passion of mine, and it, you know, I'm not getting any younger, so I definitely wanted to be able to see what it feels like to have the beach by my side on a regular basis, and that's what I have about it. It really feels like, you know, exactly what the doctor ordered. Like, I'm just I almost feel like I've retired or something. Like, I'm living a dream life now. And, you know, still connected to the scene, still for the past few years, at least on the road, like 50-60% of the year. So it wasn't like I'm not fully in my beach mode, but yeah, that was sort of the inspiration. It's also nice just to get to be home and see my family on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And my sister had a baby earlier this year, so it's just all those things. It just feels like it was the right time, so I'm happy I made the move.
And were you a surfer back in the day?
You know, I got bit by the bug really early, but I lived close to the mountains. I grew up closer to the mountains, so going to the beach was kind of a field trip. But around my college years, I started to make a point to go more. And as soon as I moved to New York, pretty much every time I would go visit LA, which was fairly often, I would, you know, get an Airbnb close to the beach and hit the waves every morning. And, you know, so I've been sort of quietly dedicated and focused on it for some years now, but yeah, I got bit by the bug pretty early.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about the album. I know that you did a lot of there was a lot of choices in terms of what you ended up putting out, right? From that week that you were at the Vanguard.
Yeah, so, you know, sort of one of the great things about the Vanguard is it's not just one night, right? You have
right.
that whole six nights and the progression of those nights. And so, you know, we recorded Thursday through Sunday, both sets, and, you know, that was all the material from those nights to sit through and see kind of what felt like they needed to be on the album. And the repertoire... drawing on it, you know, it's very, very honest, just kind of naturally what I do when I play gigs. I pull out the tunes that from my book that work. You know, what feels good as an opener, closer.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe switch things around if in the middle of the set it feels like we need to make a change. And I love playing, you know, just standards, playing tunes. I always love that. And in a room like the Vanguard, it feels especially appropriate. You know, I remember the days when Rank would let you know if you didn't play one, you get off stage. At some point, I came off stage to, "You didn't play a standard," and I said, "Lorraine, I played Celia, Bud Powell. I played that for you. I knew you were here." And she said something effective. "The only thing I know about Bud Powell is my husband picked him up from under a cab." You know, just sort of snatched something back at me in typical Lorraine fashion. But so yeah, I felt like the album should just have an honest Vanguard set on it. So it's a couple original tunes. Some of them you'll recognize if you already know my stuff, and
yeah,
I think there's one new composition in there, and a couple tunes we use as platforms to explore.
Cool. And Rejuvenation Agenda, what's that about?
There's a few. The title, and I'll leave the detailed one behind, but I feel like it's an appropriate time to consider what our rejuvenation agenda might be. You know, how we can take our and create, you know, manifest a greater vision for the future. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay, you can tell me honestly, and I won't put it in.
Well, there's another. I mean, part of it is actually that there's a song called "Extinction Agenda" from an old hip hop record, and the rhythm of the bass line I use in part of that tune as well. So, extinction agenda, rejuvenation agenda. That's part of it. But I kind of feel like leaving that out because I don't really want to pull to make any kind of connection to that. And I'm curious to see if anybody even would notice that at all. It's kind of a far away from being recognizable. So anyway,
should I put that in there, or is this a between you and me?
Yeah, let's leave that between you and me.
Okay, I'll cross it out. Cool. tell me, how many, your experience at the Village Vanguard, how many times you play there?
You know, I'm actually very happy to say that I've lost count. I think as a leader, it's getting into the 6 or 7 times
uh-huh.
range.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, with lots of other groups. I think the very first time I played at the Vanguard was with Lewis Nash,
wow,
if I'm not mistaken.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I did, not long afterwards, did a week with Christian McBride. I know I played there with Roy Hargrove. Yeah, you know, lots of cats throughout the years, so I'm happy to say I've lost count.
That's good.
Yeah.
Kind of the Village Vanguard is kind of a sacred place, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. It's to me, that's the first place I think of when I think of, you know, where the music belongs and where the essence of the music lives, you know, the spirit of how to approach playing this music. I think that's, you know, the Vanguard is the blueprint for that, and always has been. And you know, you really do feel the presence of all that has come before in that room. You know, it puts you in a particular headspace. You know, I think like when I'm playing, regardless of the stage, I'm striving to serve the music as best I can, and to do that I try to play with as much clarity and honesty as possible. It's kind of the platform that I use for any kind of educational thing, is that we really just have to focus on expressing ourselves with clarity and
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a bit of a jumbled way of expressing all that. I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's great. I know you were known for so long as a trio guy, but to have the quintet, man, it's pretty amazing.
thanks, man.
The double saxes, wow.
Yeah, you know, it's become an instrumentation that I've used more and more, but it's not that premeditated. It actually kind of just comes about from loving all of those saxophone players that I call. You know, I put together a band more based on the individual musicians,
yeah,
than looking for a particular instrument. So I'm just happy to know so many great saxophone players, and you know, Logan and Walter are two of my favorites for sure.
Cool. Tell me this. I was looking through some old tapes of me talking with you, and this was from 2016. I did a piece, or I participated in a piece for Downbeat that was called 20 Under 40. And you know, we talked. You at the time, you were in the midst of recording a trio album, I think, after a run at the Vanguard, but you didn't really know where you wanted to release it, and you thought, well, maybe the best way to do this is to do self-release. And then it ended up becoming Tributary Tales on Motima. It's 2017. Yeah. Tell me how you made it to Blue Note.
Yeah, I guess sort of the same way, you know. I set out to record a record. You know, I know I want to do that. I know I want to add more to my body of work. And then there's that question of, you know, how do we do that? What's the best way to do that? And if I go the label route, you know, who's interested? Is there anybody who would like to work with me on this? And, you know, obviously I have so much love and respect for the Blue Note tradition and,
yep,
institution that's Blue Note Records, and I've gotten to know Don Waz better and better throughout the years, and he's come to some of my shows in more recent years, and you know, we spoke to one another about working with one another, and both agreed it'd be cool, and you know, so it's sort of an easy story that way. I imagine at some point in my life I'll be self-releasing records. I don't know for sure, but you know, I know that we live in a time where that's totally a great option and beneficial in so many different ways, and that sort of all of our archetypes or whatever, our institutions from, you know, modeled in the past, you know, they have a different relevance today than they did, you know, even 10, 15 years ago. But I do still think there is some value to the systems, to those models, to those formats, and to be able to work with a great team of professionals who have a lot of experience in putting out records, and you know, whether it's their PR department or whatever it is, I'm still excited to have the idea of getting to participate in the process that way.
Yeah.
You know, and just to be able to fly that Blue Note flag is a real honor for me. It's of course, you know, it's a dream come true. So, that's kind of where I'm at with it. I've got total love for the sort of progressive idea of let's ditch all of these, you know, let's ditch all the labels, let's ditch all of the old system and go into the new. But I'm maybe not so extreme to say that I want to jump ship just yet.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think finally I get to talk with you, and I think it's good. This is going to be for I have a column, a monthly column, that I finally built after having columns with publications that disappear or for whatever reason are gone. I decided to build a website and put my monthly column up there. So, and I try to do as much social media push to get people interested in it. And so I thought it would be great to do you as my lead item this month.
Oh, wow, that's great. Thanks so much, Dan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I really admire you. I've seen you come along for a ways now.
Yeah, it's been some years now.
Yeah. Including that blindfold test at Monterey.
I know, man. That's such a special memory.
Yeah, special memory for me, too. And seeing your dad out in the audience, like, checking you out.
Yeah.
And then a few years later, me blindfolding. I think it was 2 years later. 2 years ago, me blindfolding him, which was really fun. Keep it in the family, man.
Yeah, man.
So listen, Gerald, I'm going to let you go. Maybe you can go surfing for a few minutes before your next interview.
Yeah, I'll squeeze it in a little later.
Where do you live? Where do you live now?
I'm like right by LAX in El Segundo, so it's 10 minutes to the water, 10 minutes to the airport.
There you go. Okay, well, you stay safe, okay?
All right, we'll do you too. Thanks, Dan.
Okay, take care.
All right, bye.
Bye.